Wake Up Zone, 917 on 104.5 The Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Mark Howard and Blaine Bishop, I'm Kevin Ingram. Jonathan Schaefer, our producer. Joined now by David Ubbin of The Athletic. Wrote a really good piece in The Athletic. The 10 moments that landed Tennessee in college football purgatory. It's a great read if you have a chance. David, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Absolutely. You covered everything. It's kind of chronological from Duke hiring David Cutcliffe to the Derek Dooley era to Kirby Smart going from Alabama to Georgia and, you know, how all these things sort of got Tennessee to where it is now. If you're ranking them in order of importance or you know, maybe something else, how would you go about it and not just chronological?
You know, I think if you're looking at the current situation, I think the lack of development under Butch Jones is number one. You know, for them to recruit at the level that they recruited at, you know, Tennessee, maybe they're not, competing for the playoff spot, but they're probably at least in the top half of the SEC East based on how they've recruited. You know, hanging up there with Georgia and Florida, probably behind those two, and they're not even close to that. And so, you know, a lot of these things kind of lead into the next thing, but if you're talking about the hole that Jeremy Pruitt finds himself currently sitting in and trying to dig his way out of, I think the lack of development under Butch Jones would probably top the list for me.
One of the things I thought you wrote about that was interesting was how Bob Stoops used stability at Oklahoma to really help fuel his success there. How much do you think that at Tennessee and just all the change in administration has been a factor in trickling down to the football program?
I mean, I think it's those things are tough to see in the moment. You know, it's sort of like a mosaic sort of approach. If you got your nose pressed up against it, sometimes it's hard to see. You know, every now and then if you get to a public spat over facilities or things like that, where maybe you don't see eye to eye with the administration, those things can grow. But sometimes it's a lot of stuff behind the scenes and things that were just, you know, you got to feel like you're tugging in different directions versus where everybody's pulling in the same direction and everybody's just generally happier. And you get things accomplished in a way that doesn't harm those relationships. So, you know, I think that's definitely a factor. You know, you have people with different philosophies on how universities and athletic departments should be run. And you know, when you have to hire and fire coaches and you're all of a sudden managing a coach you didn't hire, that can get a little bit awkward and difficult for everybody, make everybody a little bit nervous, everybody kind of looking over their shoulder. It's just not conducive to running a tight ship, and that's the situation that Tennessee has found itself in more often than not over the last decade.
The 10 moments that landed Tennessee in college football purgatory, written by David Ubbin. He is our guest here on the Wake Up Zone from The Athletic.
David, I find it just hard to believe that, 2013 to 2017, only recruited four offensive linemen. I think only two guys remain. I mean, you have to practice that. I mean, why did that? I mean, did anybody tell them that they needed to recruit offensive linemen? This is the SEC. I think the games are won in the trenches.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that number is four offensive linemen that were four-star or better. But you look at the 2015 recruiting class linemen, they're all gone for various reasons. Injuries, transfers. So you don't have a class there. You look at Derek Dooley's last class. He didn't recruit an offensive lineman in that class, any lineman of any star, which in the SEC, that's still a defensible. I bet if you looked at, you know, the last 10 years of recruiting for 130 FBS programs, I can't imagine how many recruiting classes you find without an offensive lineman. That's, I mean, I bet you it's less than 20. And so that's astounding, especially in SEC where you cannot get away from that or get away with that. And, you know, Tennessee's paying the price for that. You know, they haven't recruited super well on the offensive line. They've lost numbers on the offensive line. They've had a lot of injuries. They haven't developed well. And you saw it last season. I mean, Tennessee probably had the worst offensive line of any Power 5 program. And if you look at the nuts and bolts of how they got there, you shouldn't be surprised. You know, you have Trey Smith for half the season, who's, you know, probably an NFL first-round talent. The blood clot situation with him is extremely unfortunate and really a scary deal. So then you don't have him for the back half of the season. You look at what you have, the rest of that roster, and it's looking a little rough. And so, you know, Tennessee is trying to rebuild that. You know, we mentioned that 2013 to 2017, they only had four offensive linemen, or I think it was five offensive linemen rated four-star or higher. And they've recruited four in the last 2 years. And then they've added Brandon Kennedy, who was a former four-star. He'll be back probably playing center for the ball, the Alabama transfer. So you start, you know, that obviously that list starts with Wanya Morris and Darnell Wright, probably two true freshman tackles this fall, but the Tennessee is really up against it, and I think that no position group is more emblematic of the development issues, the recruiting issues, and just the lack of development in this program more than the offensive line right now.
The common thread, though, which you didn't mention here, maybe a little bit, is Coach Fulmer, when he was let go to now come back to save the day.
Yeah, I mean, they're hoping that. I think you know, it's always easier for football coaches when you have an AD who's a football coach. I mean, right now, Jeremy Pruitt, when he asks for something, he's getting it very quickly. Whether that's a third practice field, you know, built in one offseason, whether that's the highest paid offensive coordinator in the country, which is Jim Chaney, who, you know, is a very good offensive coordinator. I don't know that you would necessarily find a lot of people that make the case that he's the best offensive coordinator in all of college football, but he's the highest paid one. I mean, Tennessee is going to be on a very short list of programs that have two coordinators, two play callers that are going to be paid seven digits. So Jerry Pruitt has everything he needs. I mean, there were those resources. You're not getting that under a lot of athletic directors. But when you have an ex-football coach who believes that football is so important to the university and is good at raising funds and convincing the right people, hey, this is where we need to invest our money and everything. It's sort of a rising tide lifts all boats situation. You know, you've got Jerry Pruitt in a pretty good situation overall, and so I'm sure he's thankful. I mean, when he says, you know, had to pick any athletic director in the country for this job, it'd be Phil Fulmer. It's those are the kind of reasons why he says stuff like that, because, you know, Phil Fulmer sort of gets it, and he's not nickel and diving him. I mean, they're putting all their chips in the football basket and hoping to revive it, and that it helps the rest of the university.
We're speaking to David Ubben of The Athletic. He covers the University of Tennessee football and basketball. And David, sort of buried in Lane Kiffin's year is how his highly touted recruiting class fell apart so fast, and I'm not going to say that's the reason why Derek Dooley failed, because it wasn't, but it certainly didn't help him.
Yeah, that I mean, it's always tough when you're a coach only there for 1 year, because you've got a rush first recruiting class, and you kind of abandon the second one. And you know, Lane Kiffin, obviously it was extenuating circumstances. I mean, nobody would have thought that USC would be giving him a call after a year, and I don't think if you're being honest, you can really blame him for jumping to that. I mean, I don't think that there were very many jobs, maybe any jobs, that he would have left Tennessee after for 1 year, but USC was that job. And you know, Lane Kiffin did what he felt was best for him, but certainly it put Tennessee in a bind, and then they made it worse by making a bad hire. So it's a difficult situation, and you're sort of, you know, these things don't happen by accident. I mean, it's sort of a, decision after decision, step after step. Just kept digging Tennessee's hole deeper, and now we're sitting here where Tennessee's had losing seasons in 7 of the last 11 years and has not sniffed any of the former greatness that fans really had gotten used to.
And then there's the happy accident that is Josh Dobbs. I don't even know if Butch's staff deserves credit for it. They went to Dobbs out of desperation, and he turned out to be way better than anybody thought. But in a way, he kind of saved Butch there for a while and sort of elevated the program for a couple of years, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. But that's kind of what I wrote about in our piece, is that, you know, big picture, it probably hurt Tennessee because it extended the Butch Jones era longer than it probably should have, and it really hurt the infrastructure. I mean, they were dragging – Josh Dobbs was dragging Tennessee to be about as good as it was probably ever going to be under Butch Jones, and you could, you know, you obviously you saw the foundation at play the next season when Josh Dobbs wasn't there, and you hear kind of how the program was run and the amount of time the guys were putting into things and just the way that the guys were not developing, and you could kind of see it and players not getting a whole lot better as they progress in their career, and then, you know, you don't have all of a sudden a game changer at quarterback. And you have the worst season in school history. You know, there's no one player should not be enough to drop you from, you know, having a 9-win season, being having a respectable year, to going 4-8. But Josh Dobbs was so good that he extended the Butch Jones there, and I think ultimately it was probably a net negative for Tennessee as a whole, even if he made those teams in the short run much, much better.
I also think you made a great point for the here and now, and that is the hiring of Kirby Smart at Georgia has made things exponentially tougher, for Jeremy Pruitt or any coach had he been in there, because of how Smart has sort of lifted his program.
Yeah, absolutely. And ironically, you know, Jeremy Pruitt was a big reason, you know, for a lot of the changes at Tennessee that Kirby Smart has really benefited from, whether that's, you know, the attitude within the program, kind of showing them in a lot of ways that what was happening under Mark Richt was not the program living up to its full potential, and recruiting some players that were on the roster that helped Georgia get to a national championship so quickly under Kirby Smart. But yeah, I mean, I think you're trying to build a program. Those little baby steps, they matter. You know, if you can win the division, that's not anything that the fans are going to get super fired up about, but it means something. It means you've seen some progress. But for Tennessee to win their division right now, they're probably going to have to be right on the cusp of making a playoff. And Tennessee's a long ways away from there. Whereas you look at the SEC East that Butch Jones was inhabiting, you could be pretty average, and you could win your division or at least get close. And now Tennessee, you know, if you lose two games in the SEC East with Georgia hanging around there, you're pretty much done, especially if one of those losses is to Georgia. And Tennessee has to play Georgia and Alabama every single year. They're the only team in the division that has to do that. So it's just that, you know, that's just bad luck. And makes life a lot harder on Jeremy Pruitt.
Sure does. David, great stuff. Really interesting read. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Anytime.
All right. From The Athletic, that's David Ubben, wrote the 10 moments that landed Tennessee in college football purgatory. We can explore some more of that when we come back.